Sledgehammers only, right, Fern?
That's what we like to say. I think that's your saying.
I stole it from you.
If anybody was confused, Jay has zero original thoughts, and anything that he posted on Instagram probably came out of my mouth.
Fair. and to double down on that, yeah, I mean, I have no original thoughts. Everything I learned came from people better, smarter than me, and we just so happen to have one of them right here with us, Jen Hunter Marshall. I mean, Jen, you were one of my, like, role models and mentors as I was trying to get on seminar staff. It's a big deal.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise.
I want to actually say, coined the phrase Baby J.
Baby J, yes. I was contemplating.
She was saying she was not going to call you that.
Oh, really? That's a term of endearment. I love it, Jen. Please.
Well, I mean it that way. It's a term of endearment.
Who are the original 50 Flowmasters? Jen Hunter Marshall, Flowmaster, along with your husband, Dennis.
Yes.
Both Flowmasters in the family. Is that the only married couple? Flowmaster? Steve and Natasha now.
We were the first, I believe. But yes, we have competition.
Was Matt Chan ever a Flow?
I don't believe so. I can't remember.
I think he was.
It was like close, but I don't think he ever actually did it.
I mean, if we're going strictly married couples, let's talk about Jen and Dennis. Potentially the fittest married couple on the planet.
Oh, boy. I don't know. We have to test that.
You're up there. We're
pretty fit.
Yeah, if you guys don't know her husband, Dennis Marshall, also a legend. While we were talking about it, I don't know if you – how long have you guys been married?
So we've been married since 2008. Dennis will be mad at me. How long is that? We just celebrated – or we will celebrate 20 years, our first date on the 21st of this month. And then we got married in 2008. So does that put us at 14?
Yeah. It'll be 15 this year.
15 this year. This year.
Yeah. A lot of time under tension there.
Yes.
Now with two beautiful kids. But what I was going to say is Dennis, 2008, comes to Albany CrossFit.
Yeah.
I don't think you were there for that.
I wasn't. I was still in Colorado. He did. Was it Beast of the East?
It wasn't Beast of the East. This is a long story. It was called the East Coast Challenge.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Okay.
This is the first. This is a pat on my back. First ever non-CrossFit Games competition I ran. Fern, have I told you about this?
I don't care.
Anyway, you'll appreciate this story. I'm dealing with Dave Castro, and at the time, I didn't know who Dave Castro was. And he's like, hey, I've like reached out permission to do this. He's like, yeah, just one thing. Don't put the word CrossFit in it. I call it the East Coast CrossFit Challenge. And he like immediately messages me like, what the? I literally, that's all I asked for. But anyway, Dennis came in and I want to say he definitely podiumed. I don't remember where, but
It was second or third. I remember because he told me all about it. And I was like, what? Because we had started doing CrossFit in 2006, just playing around with it. And then he was like, you have to do this. And I was like, nah. And then, you know, fear of missing out, I started. And then he went and did this competition. He was all in, but he loved it.
It's a gentleman, but still, nonetheless, Dennis has a great physique. Thanks, PK. Thanks, PK. And also, for those of you unaware of who Jen is, you know, A, shame on you. She's a legend. B, if you go back in CrossFit, Wyclef's coach right here.
Oh, yeah.
That popped up recently because that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2014 or 13, 14 when I trained him. I've been like, Clef, how you doing? He's still holding it together. Very good.
Really?
From what I see, he's doing all right. Got me outside of my comfort zone. I think we have a song that's on iTunes somewhere.
Ooh. Maybe definitely SoundCloud, if not iTunes.
Yeah, if you guys also don't, then this Jen has many secret skills: dancing, singing, acting. She's a jack of all trades.
Yeah. So before we get a couple of things. Before we get into this, we do want to give a shout out. You're working with a fundraiser right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you say the name of it again?
Ignite is the fundraiser. It's through the month of May, and it's to benefit Forging Youth Resilience, or FIRE, and it is a nonprofit that provides access or opportunities in the fitness space for young people who wouldn't have so otherwise. So if you can, please go to their page, sign up to host. My gym is hosting next week on the 27th, and you can just do it as a workout at your gym, but definitely set up a page or go to their page and, you know, be the spark that ignites possibilities for somebody out there. So yeah. I wish I had the opportunity when I was a kid to, or younger, to be exposed to CrossFit. So it's an amazing opportunity.
Cool. Well, yeah, definitely go check that out.
Wasn't there a, there was an old program. This is not the first program that's been called Ignite. There was one like years ago that was also called Ignite that I don't know that I've ever like end up going anywhere. But anyway,
yeah.
Very, very similar, but that's cool. I think it's really cool. Yeah. Oh, did you see, was Trisha's comment? And she's like, she's a lady of the theater, much like myself, dude. So, hey, nobody knows who this is, Jen. It's okay. A secret.
Okay.
But Trish, she's dropping secrets, and we're going to have to piece all of this together over time. Okay. This is going to be like that Netflix documentary, Don't Mess With Cats.
Okay.
We're going to find out that Trish is a murderer.
Oh no.
Like Usual Suspects. And by the way, I do appreciate Trish, Nick, PK. I put up a little story, tag them in it. They shared it. So always, you know, the people in the chat are a little crazy, but love them. We love them. They're great people.
Hey.
But before we dig into lesson planning, I do have a question. You come from the theater.
Yes.
Talk to us about performing for a class, right? And I don't mean like you're singing and dancing, but a lot of people start coaching CrossFit. And it's like, we were talking about it in our coaches development group yesterday. Like,
yes.
It's one thing to be like, I'm a coach. And then you step in front of people like, oh, I'm actually a public speaker.
Yes.
As well. So give some tips and tricks for people that maybe aren't accustomed to that.
Ooh, some tips and tricks. I think, and I recommend this to all new coaches, taking some type of improv.
Ooh, improv. I like it.
I am a graduate of the Groundlings out in.
Are you really?
Yes, I went through the Groundlings. I had a show. Denise Thomas came to see my show. It was virtual.
Was it the Long Island version?
It's virtual. But during the lockdown, I had access to classes that I probably wouldn't have done before. But it's a great way to free you up. Because that's like awesome. You said, you're performing and you could freeze up like, oh my goodness, I'm in front of a class. What am I supposed to do? And so you're never lost. You kind of keep moving. And it segues really nicely into lesson planning because you need to have a plan. But if you go off script, can you recover? And so improv like helps you with that. Okay, I need to go somewhere else and I can do that seamlessly. So that's a great, you know, tool, not only for coaching, just even if you're not a coach, just in your professional life to try.
That's so cool. That's obviously recent. Yeah. I don't know. Are you familiar? The Groundlings are a lot of people from like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Like Chris Farley, Belushi, like all Amy Poehler, like all Groundling people. That's really.
It was so much fun. So, and then I do character work. So they show up in class as well. So my classes are very entertaining. So
do you have like a favorite character?
A favorite character. So right now I did a.
I saw that quick shift.
I switched in. So I did a voiceover class with Carrie Saffron, I believe is her last name. And we had to, every week we had a different dialect. And so one of my favorites is supposed to be Texas. I probably sound a little bit different, but if you get a chance to check out a documentary called Hands on a Hard Body, it's great, right? But when you think about the title of it, when I talk to people in class about it, Hands on a Hard Body, it's not what you're thinking. About these people put their hands on a truck, and the one who kept their hands on the truck the longest, they won it.
Yeah. That's a great, Jen, do you know there's a play also? There's like a live. Yeah.
Heard about that. It was like fantastic.
Yeah. During the pandemic, I went down a rabbit hole on that. Cody, that's like the original Mr. Beast. Like all this stuff Mr. Beast does.
Came to mind when you said that.
Yeah, but it was like this one dude won and he was back the next year. I mean,
you're invested. You're totally like, what's going to happen? And then the woman who was, she was all in, she was very religious. She had her faith. And then she got just a little too you know, joy is for the Lord, took a hand off the car. I was like, no.
That's a great documentary. People in the chat, Hands on a Hard Body.
Hands on a Hard Body.
I found that. I think it was on like iTunes. You rent it. It's well worth it. Awesome. Well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, there's a play version of it as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
Speaking of documentaries, hold on real quick. Jay, you and I both watched it last week. It's not a documentary. Jen, you know this. There's a name for essentially a theatrical version of a documentary. What's it called?
Ooh, theatrical. Wait. Theatrical.
Meaning like it's not an actual documentary. It's like a
fake reenactment. A mockumentary?
I don't know. But like air.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Based on Michael Jordan, right? Is that
the Yeah.
Not a documentary, but a what's it called? I can't think of the
name. I was trying to remember this the other day. I know there's a name for it, and I can't at first.
It's like one of those like this story is inspired by true events type
true
of
events.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
It's not a documentary because they have actors.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
No, yes, it was about basketball, but like it was just they did a great job with like there's subtleties in there with that are like super nostalgic, and they just did a really good job of representing that era and that time and what was going on, both visually, all of it. I was like, God, this is good.
I've been playing the soundtrack when I work out. It's like such a great 80s soundtrack.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, it's phenomenal.
I'm gonna have someone.
It's free on Amazon right now, I think.
Yeah, and also, you know what song is amazing that like doesn't get any credit is "Be Like Mike." Like, what an amazing uplifting song! I was like pumped up. it was great. Thank you. Speaking of Mike, this is Mike. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's dig in, shall we? Take it away, Fern.
So, Jen, how long have you owned the box?
We've owned the boxes. So we opened in 2010, so 13.
Oh, 13. Okay.
Years, going in 14. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then how long? Because I was trying to think about this today because of the topic is we're going to be talking about like lesson planning and or class planning and all that kind of stuff. I was trying to remember back when I actually started using a lesson plan per se, like an organized lesson plan. In the early days, probably the first 5 or 6 years, it was just fly by seat of your pants. Just, you know, you'd use the CrossFit warm up,
mm-hmm.
and you do the workout and everybody would leave. When did you guys start using, or when did you become aware of this idea of lesson planning?
I think we were very aware of it early on. And because I come from a background before CrossFit, my husband, Dennis, and I were both in the fitness space prior to that as personal trainers. And I had run some group exercise programs in the past. So my background running group exercise classes, there is always some type of plan.
Right.
Like if I'm teaching a combination, I got to have a plan of how I'm going to, you know, I used to teach double step going way back, but you just can't like jump right in. So I was aware of it. I don't know that I called it like a lesson plan, but I had some type of idea of how I framed my classes. And for us, that's kind of how we distinguished our gym early on. Like there was structure.
Right.
And people knew what to expect when they came in, which I think helped us with our success early on. And we continue that today.
That's really cool. The other thing I was just thinking about, you had mentioned it earlier, and it just popped into my mind is we were joking about like you during seminars, you'll get the training staff to do these little dance videos. And I do know in choreography is almost entirely based on progressions.
Yeah.
Like you have to teach everything in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Did you naturally do that when you started coaching, or was it just something you're just like, it just made sense to you from everything that your previous passion and profession that you just carried that into fitness? Or did you kind of like learn that from somebody else?
I think it's something that I learned early on just from my years as a mover being in the fitness space and just refined it as I learned more. And so now based on, you know, what we do in CrossFit is more formal, but I had like an informal kind of way of planning out how I was going to teach something or how I was going to go. So I think I started teaching people how to move. It's been over 25, almost a long time since I was like 16 years old. So I've been teaching people.
You and Dennis, which gym did you guys meet at? Was it a Lifetime?
We met at New York Sports Club, 23rd and Park, Midtown Manhattan. Yep, that was he walked into my gym and then it was over. Just
kidding. It was love at first workout.
Love at first hammer curl.
Sorry, Roz interrupted me. You know, Jen, I don't know if you have a baby due like any day. So
I know. Congrats.
He uses that as an excuse all the time.
It's the best excuse. It is like, I would be permanently pregnant just for the excuse. Like, I'd love to go, but I'm pregnant.
Right? You would be permanently pregnant, not your wife. Then you were saying.
Yesterday, she's like, my feet hurt. And I was like, suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, you've been wearing a weight vest for 9 months. Like, you just can't take this thing off. So, but going back to, I was thinking about your question. Like, I don't remember when lesson plans, like, it must have been when they updated the one of the seminars for the first time. And they're like, we should talk about this.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember when exactly it happened, but then it was. But I think most of us that were successful were doing something like that because it makes sense. The more organized you were, the better the class went or more effective it could be.
But there, it was literally for me. It was like, hey, we'll put this workout on the board. But like, we'll do a couple arm circles, and then let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, something we talk about often: 25 years in fitness, 15 plus years in CrossFit. Mm-hmm. How often are you still doing lesson plans?
At this point, it's not as, let's say, it doesn't take me as long. Like I have like my standard, like if we're doing pull-ups for the day, and depending on how long the workout is, how am I going to tailor my pull-up progressions? Where is it going to go in relation to other movements? So I don't have to put as much mental thought into it per se, but I still do. And we provide that for our coaches. So when we put out the work, we still program at our gym. I know a lot of people use other programs versus like program themselves that come with lesson plans. So we still do all of that ourselves at my gym. Dennis programs for us.
Dennis loves that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He loves programming. He
loves programming. And I would say like that is his special skill or talent, is he's very good at it. And he likes having his finger on the pulse of our community, like what's going on. And
we still write ours.
Mm-hmm.
We've not written it in the past, but we've been writing it for quite some time at this point. Mm-hmm. And I think we were on the last podcast, we were talking about the value of programming. I think people should for some duration write programming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you have, do you have any new coaches on staff by chance right now?
At my gym? Let's see.
Yeah.
We're in the process of bringing one new coach in now, because one of our coaches is about to have a baby. So we're redoing it. So
it's in the water.
In the water.
Babies.
Ready for summer and getting our staff together. All of our coaches are homegrown. So we've been lucky to bring everybody has been a member. And that's part of how you start the process of becoming a coach at our gym. You're a member in good standing. So you learn through observing Dennis and myself. That's your internship process and the structure in which we run classes. And then we start from there.
Would you by chance hire outside? Just this has nothing to do with the podcast, but just generally curious.
I would say probably not. I think we've had people who want to coach and we're like, be a member first because this is a different conversation, but the culture or gym culture that you establish or build, I think it can be disrupted if you have somebody come in, not that they're meaning to, but if you don't need it and it's somebody who's coaching, not when you're around, it can lead to issues, I think. So we have always, and we've been blessed so far to be able to get what we need from within our community so far. So I won't say never, but I feel like we want to curate the coaches that we have, and they they get what we're doing in our community and people automatically like trust them and know them when they come in. But, you know, we might change our mind.
Yeah, I was just curious. Like some people have a hard line on that and some people don't. I've done both. Mm-hmm. And it's both gone well and poorly. Okay, so with new coaches, because you guys provide lesson plans, do you have them write their own lesson plans or do you provide them and say, hey, execute this?
What we've done is, in terms of the skill work, that's all kind of written out for everybody, but we'll leave some freedom. Like we'll put dynamic stretches, which can be kind of like the coach can build whatever they want. That could be a game. Like if you're in my class, you might have a dance off, but it's all an effort to do what a warm-up is supposed to do, to get you prepared to in terms of warming up your core temperature, taking you through a range of motion. But we give like, that's like a 5 or 10 minutes that a coach can put together what they want. Sometimes that'll depend on what is the coach's like specialty. So we have one of our coaches, she was a collegiate gymnast. So she'll do stuff. That's her a specific skill set that she has. So she may do more of that in her warm up. You know, I like to dance. I was a dancer. So I'll do something like that. Or somebody who has a barbell interest, or they are a specialist in that, may do some work drilling that, depending. So we give some freedom there.
Yeah, I was just curious, like what the process is for starting to develop that skill set. Because some people are just like to spoon feed, and other people are like throw them into the deep end and be like, show up with a lesson plan, and then we'll just karate chop you to the neck.
When you guys allow a general warm up to be dictated by the coach, how do you evaluate that? How do you look at it after the fact and say that was effective versus ineffective?
So unless we're there, if we're not there, then we hope that it went well. And we'll get, our members are very vocal, so they'll let you know, like, oh, I didn't like that.
But so nothing like having the clients throw you under the bus and you're just like, it wasn't good.
Yeah, Jen gets it. You guys have a great community, right? So I have no doubt they're like, Jen. That warm-up was terrible.
They'll let you know, like, we don't want to do that. But no, just kidding. But we, for the most part, I think our coaches just follow things that they've seen us do. But if it's, you know, a heavy gymnastics day, then Adrienne, who's a gymnastics coach, she has some things that some of the other coaches don't know. So they'll beg, borrow, and steal from each other. And then, like, hey, I did this. Or whoever was the 5 a.m. coach, they leave stuff up on the board. And they've been like, oh, I like that. I'll try that. But yeah.
For new coaches, when they're early in the game and they're coming to the floor, what are non-negotiables in a lesson plan for you?
For a new coach, I'll speak to level 2 because at our gym, we kind of provide everything. I think non-negotiable is actually sitting down and writing something out, that you're not walking up cold. Even me, with as many years as I have experience, I still need to look or at least like sit and think about what I'm going to do, because something is going to happen. Right. If you don't know where you're going to go, you're going to lose time. You're going to have somebody drop into class that you hadn't planned for. Somebody's got an injury. And like I'll say during the level 2, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. That's just it. So take the time to make sure, even if it's just a couple of notes, that you have something down.
Yeah, we were having a programming meeting this morning. And so like, just say that somebody was pretty proficient in teaching movement, right? They're like, I know this, I can see. But there's like, when you're talking about group fitness, one of the things that you cannot and absolutely should not overlook is logistics. Like the equipment piece is not just like, it's not just taking people through specific gen warm up, cool down. It's all of that. And then the herding of cats factor. Like what is that going to look like? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I've seen some pretty solid coaches just get bulldozed by not having a plan for logistics. Mm-hmm. And it's ugly to watch.
Oh yeah. It's true. You can get just bogged down in like the detail almost of like, I know I have this very detailed toe to bar progression that I want to do some stuff on the floor, and then we're going to go up, and that may kill your time. And then your workout, you're behind, and then your class is over. And I was like, yeah, it was great, but you couldn't do it. So what do you need to do? You couldn't.
Looked real nice on paper.
Yeah, it looked real nice. And I'm a big fan of like checking your watch and knowing when's my hard and fast go time for the workout with some time at the end. So I got to start then. So that may mean, even if I did write something out, okay, this is going way longer. What can I scratch and move to this? And then you have, you know, knowing your people as well. So I have a regular class. So I know what's going to happen. People are trying to come in at lunch. So they're rolling in, some people a little bit late. So I've got a plan for that.
What's your, you know, that comes up often, like someone's 5 minutes, 10 minutes late. Yeah. At what point are you like, hey, just go on the bike, do something versus like, this is no longer safe for you?
Like, they're very respectful, our members, and I know they're doing their best to get there on time.
Especially where you live,
nobody's gone over like 15 minutes, like try to show up right before the workout starts. But if you missed the general, like get on the bike 5 minutes, pay attention to what's going on, at least know what the workout is. Like you've looked at it before. So then, you know, I'm not like, okay, you know what's going on. You can follow along and seamlessly come into class because we want to keep people safe. But we don't burpees and all of that. And like, shame on you for being late. No. We're doing their best to get there.
There was one of the Magic of CrossFit pieces they released recently. I don't remember what it was titled, but it was I do remember the coach's name. Her name was Kelly Kelly.
Clearly, yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Clearly she married into that name. But she had something interesting in there, and I don't know if it was every day. I actually think we should have her on the podcast. Yeah, we should reach out to her and have her on the podcast to talk about this.
Cody.
They have an option in their programming. It's called Recovery and Flow for people that like either just don't want to do that or go or like whatever. And in those instances that you brought up, Jay, that Jen is talking about, like that's a great option, which is okay, you missed everything that would get you prepared to do some bout of intensity. Just do the recovery and flow version of this today, which is 35 minutes of rowing and mm-hmm. something else in that scenario. But I thought that was really interesting because we kind of write programming, but we were having a discussion about that this morning about I probably wouldn't write that every day. I would write it likely on the days where it would most probably Thursdays. Be utilized, you know, something along those lines.
Okay. We offer that at our gym. So we have the workout of the day, and then we have a recovery workout of the day, which lasts about as long as the workout.
Right.
It's very similar, but lower intensity, lower skill.
Every day?
Every day.
And people can, they walk in like, Coach Jen, I'm going to do the recovery workout?
Yep. And like, okay, you looked at it, you know what it's going to do. So you can do the general warm-up if you make it in time for that. Do that with us so you're still part of the group. And we played around with a lot of different things in terms of our programming. We had... we offer in SugarWad like structural balance for people who want to focus on their strength. So, and then we had a cardio corner for a while, which was all of our, you know, rowing, skier, different interval stuff. So if you want to do that, because we have people, we talk about rest days and the importance, but people want to come into the gym. So, but they're like, what do I do? So they have options and they can come ask the coach like, hey, Coach Jen, I want to work out, but I'm just not feeling that great, or I just don't feel like I can hit the stimulus that you set for the class today. I'm like, great, do our recovery workout. That's perfect for you today. You've been 3 days in a row so far. Let's do that. And we have that to direct them to.
Well, you brought up something that you kind of like jumped right over it, and I don't want to lose sight of it. What you said in there was like, it's about the same time.
Yeah.
As the regular workout, which means you factor that into a coach running multiple things inside of the hour on one lesson plan, mm-hmm. which I think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that is where it's also very difficult to do, by the way. And this is where I think Dennis's experience in programming and looking at two things and say, okay, if we are going to do two things inside of this hour, we can't make a nightmare for the coach who is facilitating this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
what's one thing you guys have tried at the box that you're like, scratch it? Like, you know, you whether it was a gymnastics only class, a bodybuilding class, like knowing Dennis, because he's always dipping his toes and everything. What's one thing you tried? You're like, this is going to be the next cool thing we do here. And you're like, that's not, it didn't work.
Well, I don't think we said, oh, that wasn't a good idea. We tried it and it was good at the time, I would say. So at our heyday, so we've been open a long time, and Dennis and I were both competitive at regionals, and you know, we both went to the games as masters athletes. But up to 2014, we had everything. We had the Olympic lifting class. We had like strongman. We had a gymnastics class. We also had the coaching staff to support all of that. But we had people who, not only us, were also competitive. So they needed to have exposure to those different things. And then as we've gotten older and our population has gotten older, we kind of like thinned out. We don't need as many of those things. And we've done a good job of teaching our community how to do these movements. So Dennis and I are very proficient in our Olympic weightlifting. So we don't have a specific class anymore. You're going to get good instruction in class. So we kind of let some of the specialty stuff go. We had a rowing class at a time for a time. Running, we had everything.
It's so funny that if you think about what you're saying, and I think about myself and many other gyms, like how the programming and the classes are just a complete mirror image of the coach and where they are at in life.
Yes, yeah.
You know, like I was having a conversation. I was at the central. I don't know what it's called, but the Kevin Ogar at the summit this past weekend. Yeah. In Kansas City, and Austin and I were talking to the gym owner at Brave Enough CrossFit, I believe is the name, Brian, and the conversation kind of devolved into like, we've all kind of gotten old enough where like people come in, they're like, I want to do that, and they're like, whatever, do whatever you want, like it's fine. It's like it doesn't matter, like come in, get your fitness on in some variation, and it'll all work out just fine. And how we all used to be so dogmatic and so rigid about programming. No, it says you're going to run, you're running. I don't care if you have a broken foot. We're going to sort it out and you're going to run. You're like, calm down. Back in the day, it was just like, you don't do this, you're a loser. Yeah, I was disappointed you weren't there, Trish.
I did send him that message. Trish sent me a message. I think, what did it say for him? Fern is awesome.
Oh, was that from Trish?
Trish sent it to me, but somebody sent it to her.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Yeah, who was your little birdies that you sent there, Trish?
Fern has been giving these lectures, Jen, at the summits, and everyone's mind is blown.
Okay.
So he's crushing it. What's your training look like these days? Because you're what, 40 now, Jen? Are you 40 now? Oh, my
goodness. Yes, I've been there for some time.
What's your training look like these days?
I do one workout a day. I will admit I kind of cherry pick these days just because I had some nagging stuff in like mommy life, like you said, like jumping into a workout that may be all the time that I have. So I like to do high skill gymnastics. So I'll look at the programming for the week. I'll pick out two or three that I want to do. And then the other days I'm doing more lower intensity or strength training. So it's a mix. Less.
The really cool thing is you can get fitter cherry picking. It's just, you know, I know we talk about it in the hopper, like there's more to be gained by chasing headlong, etc. But once you get to a certain, we're all in our 40s, right?
Yes.
Like, I also just want to do things I have fun doing.
Yes.
Like, especially many of the times I'm training by myself. I don't know about you guys. It's like, I'm not going to sit here, you know, and do snatch balance for 3 hours. Like, let me just have some fun over here. Yeah. And it's more enjoyable.
More enjoyable. As long as I can still do my strict muscle up, I'm happy.
I have a feeling you will be on your deathbed. Like, Dennis is like, let's pull the plug. And Jen's like,
nope, just one more.
like before you pull that plug, pull that cord over here. I'm going to do a muscle up out of his bed.
Those rings over here. Yeah.
So strength, and that's a transition. And sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
But as we age, and I work with a lot of women, so pre and postnatal is one of my specialties, but also over 40 for women in particularly, like the high intensity is good, but we have to manage that. And actually like the strength training and making sure you're getting that in is very important. So I'm listening to the knowledge that I have.
So
yes.
Can you talk about that? Because that's important. because we're doing a little education piece in the gym with our a lot of our female population, because there's a misconception in large swaths of the column middle age, postpartum, who are looking for some sort of weight, like trying to get baby weight off it. And they will typically default to long, steady state cardio. Can you speak to that and why that can be problematic? Because what you said, there's like, hey, we need to get them to focus on strength, but there's a reason for that.
There's a reason why, and there's some research out there, and I probably won't do it as much justice as it deserves, but even before you get over 40, training, there's some, I don't know if you guys have followed that, training around your cycle. There's some, I don't want to say definitively, but some research suggests that you're weaker at certain points or phases during your cycle. So making sure you're training around the cycle, or when you feel good, that's when you push it. And definitely listening to, I work with a functional medicine doctor, and she did a talk, a workshop at my gym, talking about the importance of, as women age, you lose muscle. But muscle, we know, burns more fat or can help you stay leaner. So the importance of strength training to retain as much muscle as you can, and that actually doing those long, slow cardio sessions, or, you know, an hour long of running, is not going to get you the result that you want. You just, if you like it, that's fine. But we need to put in some strength training. And that's important.
Couple of things. You know this guy, Jen? Jethro Cardona?
Yes. Yes, he is. Uh-huh. Jethro. Shout out.
Yeah, Jethro and NYPD out there. Mm-hmm. I just try to avoid women during their cycle. That's what I thought you were supposed to do.
No. So I hope that, so any women that are listening, you know, get some strength training in, and it'll pay off down the road. So for me now, I'm just trying to maintain strength. I'm not getting any strength. I think that's passory, but can I maintain or be as close to where I was with my lifts and things like that?
We got to convince the generation above us, like our parents, about that, right? Do your parents, they're still around?
They're still around. They've had their share of some hardships lately. Just my dad had open heart surgery.
Oh, wow. He's okay.
He's doing okay, but 78 years old, Army Ranger, airborne, like jumping out of planes and doing, his whole life has been just tough on his body. And but he works out. He was going to Gold's Gym for years and doing his classes. So I think that helped him for sure with his recovery. And my mother, she's a power walker. I don't know, Jay. I'm like pretty fit. I cannot catch this woman.
Well, yeah, but
she's a specialist, Jen. She's a specialist. We already know how this works.
Walking, you guys know how you distinguish walking and running. You know what the rule is?
The running is just
feet off the ground.
Right.
No, walking, you always have to have a part of
one foot on the ground. Yeah.
But no, because I'm at a point, like, I've got like 8 parents right now between in-laws and all of our parents, of course, and they're all looking so fragile, like they're all either in their 70s or very close to it. I'm like, man, like, stop walking. Like, you know, continue walking for the rest, right? Yes. But also do some squats. Like, because, you know, my mother-in-law is here right now. And I'm like, we wouldn't even let her stay in the basement. We're like, you got to stay on the first floor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you're about to have a career ender in the middle of the night. You know, like, we got to, like, I remember working with Ripito back in the day, and he used to say, at some point in life, you're better off being a little overweight. As far as just like,
what does he mean? Just with like, you have excess lean muscle mass?
Well, more so just like, I'd rather you be a little overweight than fragile.
Okay.
Even if it's not all muscle mass, like, I don't think he is saying obesity for the record. He's just saying like, I'd rather you have a few extra pounds on you, you know, to protect yourself than be too lean. Because like Roz's mom is so lean, but it's like, I'm afraid she's going to break. Like, how do I convince people, Jen? How do I convince some of these, you know, you said you pre-post all that stuff. What about
older?
Yeah.
It's you have to create a place where they want to come. I have a class, it's called Vitality.
Oh no.
Yeah.
My friend's got a class called Vitality.
Yeah. And it was for 55 plus. We started in-house. So members who had parents or they themselves that wanted a class where we listened to music they were into and come to. That's where it started.
I'm laughing at this. This guy called me out.
Oh, no, it's right.
That is funny.
Yeah. But it starts with providing information. So I think if you do like a informal, like sit down, hey, come, let's talk about this. I think it's called the aging adult. I forget what our specialty course is.
Yeah, course.
It used to be called the Masters originally, but
I was part of, which was great if you have an opportunity to take that course, because it gives you all the information you need, all of the bullet points, like, oh, I shouldn't lift weight or I shouldn't do this. You're like, yes, you should. I saw that, you know, strong people are harder to kill, but you know, they're doing things. So we're just preparing you to have the best life that you can for as long as you can.
When do you think, I think we're what, one generation away from people being concerned about getting too bulky?
I think so. I think we're past, that was like our generation, women like, I don't want to be like you. And I was like, what do you mean? Big hair?
I don't, you're like what exactly best, are you referring to?
Yeah, but you're like one of the best examples. And by the way, thanks, Nikki Sharp. I saw your donation earlier. You're very muscular.
Yes.
But I mean, still.
Have you always been like that, Jen?
Well, let me finish. Like,
yes. Pretty
don't get me. I was going to say, I don't want to get Dennis on my bad side, but still very attractive.
Oh, right? Like, thank you.
You know, and women walk in, they're like, I don't want to get bulky. I'm like, that woman over there lifts more than you will ever lift. Like, don't worry. Like, let's just get you a little stronger.
Yeah, don't worry. It won't happen overnight. And what's interesting, when I work out in class with, oh boy,
Look. The internet is just riddled with Jen Hunter.
Look at the one of Dennis and Jen there.
Okay. Oh, so that was our fittest sutra days. That's steamy. That was our fittest sutra. I had a coffee table book idea years ago. Okay.
I mean, Jen.
There's still time, Jen.
Yeah. I got to leverage my Regis and Kelly back in the day. We were on there.
Are you on Adrian Conway's episode?
Yeah, I was on there. More Than Fitness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Taking me back. Okay. Yep.
The thing is, you've had two kids and you still look like this. What is up?
Still, you know, it's my secret weapon. I can't just get enough. Rest.
Yeah. Lots of sleep.
I want to look like Jen.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's education, like starting with that and then just have them come in and see. I think getting, I hate more experienced people. I like to use that term as I age myself into the gym just to see what's going on and then to make the connection between how this can help them outside of the gym. Like, hey, there's aches and pains. You want to be able to play with your grandkids. I'm training a couple this evening. They were part of my vitality class. And one of them just had their first grandchild. And he wants to be around for that. So that means we got to, you know, get you squatting down and doing some other things, picking things up so that as she ages, you can still continue to be an active part of her life. So they get it.
So let's kind of dovetail this over to lesson planning. How is a lesson plan different for that vitality class, which I'm assuming you got that from OPT?
Yeah.
Dennis has done like the OPEC stuff. I mean, Dennis.
Yeah. I just like the name. I liked vitality.
No, it's a joke. We'll fill you in later. But how is that lesson planned or is that process for lesson planning for that age group and that demographic different than how you would normally lesson plan for a class? And if it is, how so?
No, I don't think the template is the same, but I might incorporate some different elements for them that are specific. Like we do some, because we know some people as they age, if they don't practice that balance, there may be some things that I'll put in that I might not put in the regular.
Right.
That they have to do, but the structure is the same. We have a warm up, we have some prep, we have the workout, we have a cool down.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a little overlap with how you teach and how you program from the kids like from kids and training kids, like when you're talking about balance, you would do that with kids as well. Mm-hmm. And then how you demonstrate and things like that with some of the older populations. So mm-hmm. I've always thought that was, those are interesting overlaps. It's basically mm-hmm. they're just really old babies at that point.
Yeah. They go, go back. It's like Benjamin.
Right. Right. Go ahead, Jay.
Of course. OPEC's definitely different than CrossFit. So bringing it back to lesson plans.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about the warm up. What mm-hmm. about the cool down? Do you let that go to the coach as well?
We'll let that go to the coach. We don't. Sometimes Dennis will put in a finisher. The coaches, whoever's there, may put in some stretches. And I would say that's probably an area that we don't dedicate as much time to it because we tend to run out of time. Not because we didn't plan for it, but people running in or having to leave or not having as much time as the hour. Like I got to cut out 10 minutes early. So we missed that, but I know the value of it. And whenever in my classes, I was a yoga teacher as well. So I put in a little cool down that helps people recover and they always enjoy it when we have time to do it. So we don't.
It's interesting you say that because obviously you and Dennis are both super high quality coaches, and as I'm sure many of the coaches at your facility are. And I noticed this at our gym as well, that even with a really solid stable of coaches, the place where you typically fall short is in the cool down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Cody gave us a topic, and it's, you know, more often than not, cool downs are essentially cleanup time.
Yeah. But if it is, you can guide that. So sometimes I'll get to like, oh my goodness, I just got 5 minutes. All right, team, as you're walking around, putting your things away, I want you to breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Let's do about 10 breaths as you put things away. So I'm in, it is cleanup, but I can still try to add some value to the cleanup after we give, you know, the community high fives, everybody. And now let's be very deliberate with like what we're doing so that we return to some type of homeostasis before you leave. So there's always time to do a little something, but it can get shortchanged for sure.
We tried to incorporate a lot of kind of Henshaw's method with regard to cover recovery and flushing, because you can do most of those and you can build things that are for sure under 5 minutes. And as long as you have like a decent amount of time, 7 to 10 minutes, you could easily get those in and get your cool down in there and achieve exactly what you're talking about, Jen, which is bring people back down.
Right.
I think what he's saying is I got a great cool down. Last Thursday.
You did a good cool down. Yes, we did, Jethro. I did a little yoga stuff at the end. Or sometimes what I'll do if we're running short on time or people have to leave early, I'll put up or call out, these are things that I want you to do before you leave. Or if you have to leave early, make sure you get this in wherever you get to, where you're going. So return the range of motion, stretch a little bit so that you're still continue to add value.
Well, I think that's important. And because every coach blows timelines. So I've not met one that hasn't. And I think that is something that's overlooked and should be encouraged, which is like, hey, if you do blow the timeline, don't continue to make mistakes, which is not tell people to cool down.
Right.
Like I had one mistake and then I turned it into two mistakes by not giving them something to close that out with. So for coaches out there, like even if you are running behind, be like, hey guys, before you get out of there, I need you to go over there. I need you to get on the bike, grab a rubber band. But before you leave, you need to be here for an additional 5 minutes while they're doing the whiteboard brief over here. I want to make sure that happens. I think that is should be encouraged inside the facilities instead of, well, I blew the timeline, so everybody see you tomorrow.
Yep, that's it. No, I think for sure. And then you put some ownership on the members of your community that this is important, that you need to do this, that you talk about it at least. Before you go, just spend a little bit of time doing this. Wherever you get to after you leave here, do this. To help prepare you for when you come back the next time.
Right.
Where's the other one? You think you're going to make another run at the games, Jen?
Well, 60. We'll see.
60.
Every 60. Time I try to push, I did the quarterfinals almost killed me. But
how high did you finish in the rankings?
I didn't look, but I didn't make it. I will say this, my goal, because I had no right to go past the quarterfinals. I was shocked I made it in, was to not get capped and to, you know, finish all the workouts, which I was happy to do. So it just showed me where I am now.
He's not 60, Barry.
I'm not 60 yet, but maybe.
What would you like to see come out of the Hopper, Jen? If you're like, what gets Jen to the games?
Yeah. Ooh, if they had like a dance wad.
AMRAP, running man and muscle ups.
Like, yeah. Or who could be most creative with CrossFit moves in a to music? Like something like that.
Choreographed CrossFit.
CrossFit.
People in the chat talking about cooldowns, this all relates back to the lesson plan, right? Like cooldowns basically become cleanup. A, when the coach hasn't made a good plan to know to end 10 minutes early, and then B, when the hour is just jam-packed with too many workouts,
exactly,
we lose the, you know, even if you have a long CrossFit workout, call it 20 minutes, that's plenty of time for a general, specific workout and cool down. It's when we have two or three components that one of the first things that goes is like, we wrapped up, next class is coming in. Well, great question here, Robbie. What do you do for this, Jen? Like, how do you maintain the integrity of the culture of CrossFit? I mean, you are old school gets. Like, you know, we all come from that generation of wait till, you know, even at the level one, you're a flow master, I'm sure, clean up after each other, like, or cheer each other on. Like, how do you maintain this?
We wait. That's the culture that we created. You stay till everybody's done. Now, if you have somebody, I teach in the middle of the day, so people are coming in, you know, for their lunch break to come do. You let me know beforehand, and they're always super apologetic. There's a way to handle that, but for the most part, everybody waits. But that requires that you have a good lesson plan. You articulate the stimulus of the workout so that if it is a workout that's task priority, meaning we don't know how long everybody's going to finish, if somebody doesn't abuse that time, right, and then push you through your cool down that you may have allotted, and then people are miss out on class because they're waiting for this one person to finish.
Well, you nailed it. Like, for, you know, I think a lot of times, like, we're giving very simple answers in theory, but then the execution of it is the whiteboard brief, right? If we're doing Fran, and someone's taking 12 minutes, like, they're 5 minutes beyond where they should have been, and now we're delaying class. If you finish a very fast Fran call of 3 minutes and someone's at 7 minutes, that's fine. You're still recovering anyway.
Right.
When people blow it. No, it's cool, Fern. Every single person we've had on all talk about the same thing, and it's basically mastering the basics.
Jen, I was right.
Like, it's like, oh, it all came down to your whiteboard brief. No one's like, well, it's because I coached the snatch with this one technique and this and that. It's like, we talk about it the way
it's a time management exercise, right? And like, and Jen's bringing up some good points, which is know your athletes, right? So like when I was coaching the 6 a.m. is like back in the day, I don't coach them anymore, but there were people that needed to hustle to get out of there. So like, they're like, I need to be in the shower by like 57 in order to get to work. And so as a coach, I'm not going to be like, well, if you can't stick around the whole hour, it's just like, well, let me give you the same experience. Let me just adjust my timeline for the full class so that you can get what you need, and we'll get you the cool down and then get you out of here. And now I have a happy client versus somebody who is grumpy because the coach isn't paying attention. And this person's not asking for a ton. They're just like, I would like to get the full hour of this thing, and maybe I get out of here like as we're stretching versus you know, 3, 2, 1, you know, or time. And I'm like, I got to run to take a shower now. And I think it's just time management. It's like, know your people, time management, plan accordingly.
Plan accordingly. And sometimes things happen, but you learn from that. That's the other thing with the lesson plan. It's you, okay, this is what I tried to accomplish. That didn't happen. Okay, next time I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something different. And that's okay. It's when you fail to learn from a failure or a misstep where we run into some problems.
Right.
What's the worst you've ever blown a timeline, Jen?
Ooh. Was it last week?
Last week? I thought you were going to be like 10 years ago.
No, yeah. Well, I didn't blow. I was having a lot of fun with it was a very thorough warm-up, general and specific. And my husband, Coach Dennis, comes in. He's like, Jen, this workout's going to take a while. You need to get going. And I was like, oh, okay. I was thinking I had more time and I didn't totally get blown, but he definitely was paying attention to what I was doing. He's like, you guys are having a good time, but this workout's got to get going. People are going to take longer than you think.
He's like, and now I'm concerned.
Yeah. Now I'm concerned. And I'm like, okay, let's move everybody.
Jen, it's funny because you know, we all love Dennis, but he's kind of become notorious for blowing timelines with lectures.
Well, he likes to talk only at seminars though.
I was at, it was at Garden City. So I'm assuming you were there. Mike G was flow. Yeah. Dennis gave Fern, no joke, 2 hour programming lecture.
No.
Dennis.
That was 2 hours?
It was probably an hour and a half.
No.
Hey, you know what's fun, Jay? Embellishing. So let's just do it.
This was what was, Mike G was like, dude, they got to catch flights. Like I lived in New York at the time. Mike G was like, Dennis was doing one of these. Don't worry.
I got it.
Dropping bombs, like knowledge bombs.
Very, very much so. He gave a very thorough 50-minute squat lecture before that I was present for. But it was so, I mean, I couldn't, where do you trim? It was very thorough. But it was, and very good. So, yes, he needs his own seminar. Just come listen to Coach Dennis.
I was watching a younger trainer, this is probably a couple years ago, gave I've seen many people do. He gave like a 40-minute deadlift lecture.
Wow.
And he came in. We went. That's not bad, right? Like that's a tough lecture. You know.
Yes, it is.
If you master it, you're crushing and hitting the timeline.
Yes.
But we broke for the trainer. I mean, he came in. He's like, I don't know what happened, man. I was like, oh, what happened was the lecture is 30 minutes and you did it in 40.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Is you went
and he was like, and at no point did it look like you were aware that you were not on time. Just casually rolling through the lecture, and everyone's just like, "Is he even know that he's 10 minutes overtime?"
No clue. You try, but that's like with classes. If you're not, like I'm always looking. I'm like, all right, this is my hard and fast go time. I give the analogy of like summiting Everest all the time. So when you summit Everest, you got to be on your way down by 2 p.m. Otherwise, you're gonna die. Most people on the way down, but it's true. My lesson plan, hard and fast, otherwise is going to be a disaster.
That's something Fern and I talk about, drop dead start time. Like, you know, if you don't have a lesson plan, you at least need to know what time we need to be saying 3, 2, 1, go.
Yes.
Bare minimum. All right. Cody always drops some good questions for us to ask, and then we'll go. We've got a bunch started from the chat. So from the producer, from Cody, have you found that getting people moving first, then bringing them to the whiteboard better helps get their attention? So whiteboard brief first or get them moving, then bring them in?
Whiteboard brief first.
Always.
Always. Let's come in because everybody's talking already. Because we roll in. So people have their time to say hi to their friends and like, okay, at the board, guys. And then we get going.
Yeah, I've never found anyone able to really express the benefit of getting moving first. Have you, Fern?
I think the justification for, or the, not the justification, that's not right, the word, the reasoning for it, at least almost all of the scenarios that I've been given in that scenario is an early morning class when people are like rolling in and you have stragglers. So what they're doing is instead of giving the whiteboard brief and then putting everybody on the assault bike or a rower, they'll start on the assault bike or the rower to give those stragglers time to come in so that when they get to the whiteboard brief, everybody's there and it actually, and they don't have to re-give the whiteboard brief.
Okay.
That's the reasoning behind it. I think that's creating a workaround for just not having people be on time.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have anywhere to be at 6 a.m. this morning.
Say it, Fern. Say the quote, say the Fernism.
Which one?
Don't create a solution.
Oh yeah, don't create a solution for something that you should just enforce the first time.
Yeah, or a problem that doesn't exist, right?
A problem that doesn't exist.
Well, that's what, you know, we ask that everybody like look at, we give access, everybody knows the workouts for the week. We post up in our member page Sunday night, so everybody knows what's happening. But at least don't come in cold. Because then, like, if you are running late, you know, kind of like everything's up for what's going to happen. So then it's like, what? I was like, I need to get all these moving pieces going. And if you have one person that's clueless, that makes your job infinitely more challenging.
It's usually like the person who's not experienced. They're like, oh yeah, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'd start this all over again. You're a problem, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I have it's at the whiteboard, but I do a little, you know, chat everybody up, get everybody's name so we know who's in class with us, and that gives time for any stragglers to come in and then kind of go through the workout expectations, and everybody has an idea of what they're doing.
Next question from the producer: longer workout equals shorter warm up and vice versa. Is that a good rule of thumb?
Yeah, I would agree with that. So the longer the workout, the less time that you, depending on what is involved in the longer workout, you may not have as much time for a general warm up. You might have to cut to some specific things depending. And then the shorter workouts, you have more time to do something.
Usually what that equates to, at least mathematically, would be like it would just have a lower intensity. Like if I'm going to go for 40 minutes, like the intensity there is not nearly going to be what it would be in something like Fran. Mm-hmm. Like the analogy there would be, how much do you really need to warm up for a 10K run versus a 100 meter sprint?
Right.
Probably not a ton.
As much.
You know.
So I agree with that.
On the spot. You guys doing Murph in a couple weeks?
Oh yeah, I did my Murph prep today.
What's the warm up? People show up for Murph. Is it like do it on your own? Is it we have a planned warm up?
We have a planned warm up. So today we had some 200 meter runs involved. So the workout we did today was every 5 minutes. You did the first 5 minutes was a 400 meter. The remainder of the time you did max pull ups. Then at 5 minutes you did 400 meters. Max push-ups, 400 meters, all the way up to 30 minutes. And then max squats, you did that twice and then back down. So in our general warm-up, we had just get out, start running just to warm up, and then come in and we drilled the movements that you're going to see, the pull-up, the push-up, and the squat. More time spent on the pull-up just because you have people hanging from a bar, it's kipping involved, but still gave instruction on the squat and the push-up.
Cool. No Murph prep. I get it. All right. Last question from Cody. Where to go? There it is. After writing a lesson plan, do you think it is good practice for coaches to do it a second time and differently to ensure they come up with the best plan and can compare? Interesting, Cody.
Interesting.
Meaning run two classes back-to-back, Cody, with two different lesson plans?
Come on in, Cody.
Come in. Get in here, Cody.
Get in.
No,
get in the room.
No, just write two lesson plans. I want you to write a lesson plan. Now I want you to do it again. And how would you change this? How would you do it differently? And then let's compare and see which one's going to be the best.
So
instead of just going like with your gut instinct, I just right out of the gate, like this is great. It's an A+ lesson plan. I'm going to run that. And then you figure out after the first class, oh, that was crappy.
Okay. So you've done it already. Like I would write out one and then evaluate after I've done the class versus like, sit down. I did one. Oh, let me see if I can write a different one. I'd have to test it and then see. So I've done that with the level two, a kind of workout that I've run through. And I'm like, oh, I liked how that went, or I'm going to modify this and try this instead. And I think as you learn more as a coach, like taking other classes and how to teach movements, you can refine lesson plans that you've already had for certain things. So yeah, I think it's good to reevaluate regularly. Can I do it better?
Yeah, I think like if I were to write a lesson plan and then hand it over to, you know, to you or Jay or Denise, you would immediately be able to be like, nope, 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 do change this, do that. And it's like, okay, well, how do I get myself to that level on my second draft, just right there out of the gate? That way
it's closer. I think it's a combination, Cody. By the way, Jen, if you were looking for that accent, that's it right there.
Yeah, very good. Cody. And love
that's fake. He's putting that on. He's from New York.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good. I think it's a craft, like programming, that you have to practice regularly. Yeah. You'll get to a point where then you don't have to. You can kind of see, you know, but so much of it is dependent on who's in front of you as well. Like if I have a group of OGs that have been with me for 10 years, I can move through things quicker. If I have a mixed group, it's gonna take me a little longer. So can I adjust on the fly? But I've got two options or three that I can plug in if need be.
Love it. All right, Cody, bring up the listener questions for Coach Jen.
Okay.
Jen, oh, by the way, Did you make the announcement? Nick won $500.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right. The announcement was made. He's already got his gift card. The chat was over here talking about like what's he gonna buy? What's
he wasn't sure what he was gonna buy yesterday in the coach.
Nick P.
Yeah, Nick
he P. won $500.
This is rigged, dude.
Do you think Cody rigged it?
This is rigged. Yeah,
it's not rigged. I was worried that Cody rigged it. Hey Nick, you'll win $500. Slide me 100 of it.
Yeah, were these Dominion voting machines? How does this work?
Okay. If Cody shows up with a new Rogue shirt, we know something's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Nick P's question, Jen. What is your take on having a single timeline for all coaches to follow for the day?
So single timeline as in like
I guess everyone uses the same lesson plan throughout the day.
I think it's good. It's consistency from class to class. That's something that we've done. I mean, aside from what I mentioned earlier, the dynamic stretches where a coach may have some flexibility the first 5 minutes, everybody follows the plan. So regardless of which class they take, their experience at CrossFit Garden City is going to be consistent from coach to coach.
Love it.
They may have a different playlist. They may not have my dance moves, but you come in, everybody goes to the whiteboard right away. You listen to the coach. We get the logistics figured out. All of that happens regardless of who's the coach is. So I think it's very important.
Jim, what's your pump-up song?
My pump-up song. Well, I'm a big Beyonce fan, so anything Beyonce. Girls Run the World, I like that one.
Jen, you'll appreciate this. When I hopped in and worked out earlier, it was 90s R&B and like a string of Adina Howard songs came on. I was like, all right. I was like, it's my girl.
Uh-huh. That one and like, I knocked the windows out your car or something like that. But anyway.
Can't go wrong with 90s. 90s anything is
90s you can't go wrong. Some of that, some Janet Jackson. What else was I dancing to? Yeah, something gets all me right. my hype song and I'm ready to come in and coach. Let's go.
Cody, what's a country music? Yeah, I agree. What's the next question? I would like. Oh, Trish, there's a lot of this talk in the chat when you mentioned Murph Prep.
Uh-huh.
She would like to know why. What's the why behind Murph Prep? You know, most people, myself included, it's like CrossFit consistently is Murph Prep.
Yes,
there is a time and a place. So, how would you defend Murph Prep?
Well, hopefully people are coming regularly and they get exposed to everything. But with Murph, it's a hero workout. So the volume is high. It's a lot of pull-ups, a lot of push-ups, a lot of squats. So we're just ensuring that people get exposed to that. You need that. So if they're planning on doing the full Murph, it doesn't happen that day that they, you know, just, you know, life gets in the way. So we find that our members enjoy it. And it gives us an opportunity as coaches as well to see where people are so we can better guide them on Murph Day. Like, okay, look at what you did during the prep. So maybe 100 pull-ups, or we're going to figure out the best scaling option for you. So you've been through it. It just provides a buffer, I think, so for them.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between like we're doing this prep because our programming is devoid of anything that would look like this versus right. We're doing this to create different variations of it so people can make good decisions on training right. day to kind of like slowly ramp them up. And because mm-hmm. obviously CrossFit is a GPP program. However, I always joke with people. I'm like, if we know what the event is and we didn't program towards the event, that is also stupid. Like yeah. we should do some sort of targeted training towards that in order to set people up for success.
Yeah, it's true. I agree. Like if they... And we know when we call it that members, they come on that day.
Right.
Versus like, yes, if you come regularly, you're going to be exposed to this. You'll be ready to go. We are a GPP program. But they could miss the pull-up days for 2 weeks. And then they're going to try to do 100, maybe, if they slip by me. But let's talk. What are you going to do? You got to finish it in this amount of time. And to play around with different, if you're not doing it 100, 200, 300, then start playing around with how many pull-ups can I do? And then I need to do like push-ups and squats. It just helps them make better decisions when we get to the workout. So I think it's valuable.
One thing that I've found for Murph Prep is that it may be the only time of the year that people knock the dust off of their vest. And so if you have Murph Prep, it's like, okay, maybe for 6 weeks leading up to Murph, I'm going to put my vest on once a week and do some stuff. And that way, whenever I get to the event, it's not strange, or it's the only time I've put my vest on all year.
Right. That's a good thought too, Cody, for, cause we don't wear it generally in class. So everybody's pulling out their vest to practice. And also going over like movement standards, like what happens to the squats in MERS 300? They devolve.
Everybody all of a sudden has an immature squat. Yeah. It's easier to just fold yourself in half than
knuckles to the ground. I was like, it's not a deadlift. So we went over movement standards today. I was like, all right, guys, let me see it on the way down and the way up. So all right. Good.
All right. Before we wrap up, Jen, can I put you on the spot?
Okay.
You've talked a little game about this dance warm-up.
Yes.
Warm us up with some dance moves. Fern's going to dance. Cody's going to dance. I'm going to dance.
I need some music. Okay.
Cody, get back on here. No, we can't play music. We can't
technical
play music.
Difficulties. Technical difficulties.
Okay. Come on, get us dancing.
Right. Well, I'll give you this, Jen's, like, basic dance step, and okay, we're CrossFitters, so we're familiar with. Okay, that's a little too much east west there, Fern.
North south, Fern.
It's the Carlton.
First. You got to have a home base, right? So you think
Trish, you're in. Step. Everybody in the chat, you're dancing. Get up.
Yes, get up. So way to ensure you stay on the beat. That's important. So the push press, you got like the vertical torso, right? Shoulders over hips, push your knees forward, stay in your heels. Just get a little down up. Yeah, keep it north-south. North-south, right here. North-south. Once you get the north-south, then you can take it a little east-west, but it's north-south, then east-west. North-south, then east-west. All the knees and the hips. Good. There you go. Oh, that's
this little- is like... East too much, Jay. Right. Too much. Too much.
Right there. Home base.
You saw this on Hitch. This is right from Hitch, right? This is Will Smith trying to teach.
There you go, Jay. That is good.
What do you do with your hands? What do I do with my hands?
Just put them in your pockets.
Just put them, you know, right there. Be casual.
You got those creepy hands, Jay. Keep them in your pockets.
You can point at somebody like, yeah, I see you.
What's up, babe? What's up, honey?
What's up? But just keep that home base right there. Uh-huh. That's Coach Jen's tip.
That's good. It's a push press.
It's good.
Like a push press.
Yeah, do a push press.
Yeah, and then
universal motor recruitment pattern right there.
Jay, you're so white. You're so white, Jason.
So light. You got your barbell twerk. You can reach down.
Is this my bar mitzvah? Is that my bar mitzvah? Did you find it? That's my uncle right there.
Okay. But see, there's a little north south in there. Yep.
Just do it.
Yeah. So those of you guys at home, once you get a good, find a good song and just practice your north south in the mirror. That's it.
Fiddle around the rope if I were a rich man. All right. Well, before we let you go, Ignite, if somebody wants to check out your fundraiser you're associated with over here.
Yeah. You can go to Forging Youth Resilience on Instagram. I will have some information posted up tonight, and you can host at your gym. You can find out details on their page. You can also message me or reach out to me, and I'll make sure you get that information. But it's just for the month of May, and it's a really, truly awesome opportunity to show that you care to some young people out there and give them a great start in their fitness journeys.
One last question from Trish. What's your favorite musical?
Oh, my favorite musical. There's a couple. I just saw Hamilton. Oh my gosh.
You just saw it on Broadway?
I just saw it on Broadway. That was my Christmas present, and the whole family is singing all the songs. Wow. I'll post it up. My kids know all the lyrics.
I love that. What's his name? Lin-Manuel?
Lin-Manuel. So good. So good. So excellent. I learned more about American history.
Same.
It is great.
I was like, why didn't history class teach in rap?
Yep.
Because it's so great. Much better. Yeah.
Google Mormon is second. Avenue Q is third. Avenue Q.
Obviously, all three. Yeah. Fern, Lindsay just saw Book of Mormon when she was in the city.
With one of my members. I know. She's members.
Yeah. I love Rent. Did you ever see Rent?
I did not see it on Broadway, but I saw the movie. I wish I had seen it when it was on Broadway. But
that's still one of my faves. Anyway,
I love the music. And what's the? Oh goodness, sorry. French Revolution. Les Mis. Ah, love.
You know, I was a musical buff, huh, Fern? You know that about me?
No, I knew that because you talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, pays attention once in a while. Jen, are you going to be at the games?
I don't know yet. Trying to figure out logistics. Speaking of lesson plan, like you got a lot of moving pieces to get.
Well, you've been there in the past in the EDU booth, right?
I was at the EDU booth last year, so hopefully I'll be able to make it out again. We have an athlete competing, Mike Kern. He's a master's athlete. He's, I think 5 times he's been.
I was going to say that name sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah, Mike will be out there, so I'd love to be able to support him again and follow Mike. He's a badass.
Cool, will do. Well, hopefully we'll see you and Dennis and the fam out there.
Yeah. But
again, we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure. Good luck and with the new baby, and hopefully everything goes smoothly.
He's going to need it.
I know.
Yeah. Boy or girl, do you know?
It's a boy.
Oh, little Jay?
Potential after Fern.
Oh, okay. All right.
His middle name is going to be Bernard. It's fine.
Okay. Well,
and
pictures.
And for those of you out there, young Katie chiming in. Speaking of young Katie, May 31st, we got the game show 2 weeks from today. Katie's on which team is she on, Cody? Team Nick? She's on Team Nick.
Next, this is war, Peacock.
Next week, we have Ask Us Anything about the L2. So it's just Fern, myself. We got Cody on here, but bring the questions from anything L2 related. And Jen, again, we appreciate you coming on. Told you this at the beginning, but you are someone I continue to admire and look up to. You do amazing things. You and Dennis were integral in my development as a coach, and I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Oh, well, thank you, Jay. And Jay.
He didn't say anything nice.
Well,
I was a little concerned that you and Dennis are responsible for his development, but
we did what we could.
With what they had.
Yeah,
very good.
That's fair. Under those circumstances, well done. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. Any little bit that I had to do with your development, I'll take. So yes, Jay was always a star.
Well, thanks again. Cody, take us out.